Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch out, this hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name's Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined by my co-host, John Romano. And we got a little guest in the studio today, Big Sean Andros, holding down the back. And Jeff, the producer, working on very little sleep from this past weekend. Guys, we were all together, and we're all back together again. The Atlantic City Pro Show was a success.
Yeah, it was it was my first road show back on the team since I've moved here to New York. And now that we're all live and in the studio and gone live, as Jimmy DeBull would say, we had our first crew meeting down in Atlantic City, and we covered the show. I think we did a great job. We were down there with Jeff, the producer, Big Sean Andros, Nick the Stick, Dan Ray shooting pictures, along with Chris Zimmerman, and we were just flying along. You know, Dave, I was sitting next to Brenda, you know, Charlie Arm's wife, and she was sitting next to me while I had my laptop gone, and you know, was contributing to the show thread, and she looked at me and looked up at the stage and saw Melvin Anthony up on stage, and looked at my computer screen and saw the same picture of Melvin Anthony on my computer screen, and she said, "How did you do that? How did you get him on there so fast?" And I said, "You're talking to the best right here. This is the RX Muscle crew. We got Jeff the producer and Nick the Stick. There's no way anybody's getting photos up faster than us."
No, yeah, we had a good crew, and we did have a good bunch of people. It's always nice to be able to drive to a show, because then you can bring the whole entourage, so to speak. And you know, in true RX Muscle style, you know, we didn't have to go to the airport in the morning, but we decided to just start driving back at like 3 in the morning.
Dave, it was 4 in the morning.
By the time
we left, yeah.
Well, you wouldn't know. You slept the whole trip, so
not the whole trip, but enough.
Anyway, Jeff had a good time. I've at least come to see that Jeff, the producer, or JTP as he's known, is quite a celebrity in the bodybuilding circles nowadays. You notice that, John?
Yeah, he did, and he didn't roll in until 5 o'clock tonight. So I would love a nice on air explanation of the delay if it
was
worth talking about.
I'm going to be perfectly open and honest right now.
Okay,
traffic.
Yeah.
Oh boy, we're not buying that for a second.
You think you're talking?
Jeff, the producer's got like groupies now.
Yeah, you know, they were down there and they're going, JTP, JTP, and they're asking for autographs and stuff. And now
I understand that Jeff was cock blocking you all weekend, Sean.
Yeah, I was. I can't even say I was playing wingman. I was just an innocent bystander this weekend. My luck has turned.
Sean actually slept for 8 hours last night, John. He's like, he's shell shocked.
He slept for 8 hours today.
Today, yeah. That's what I meant.
No one slept last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, he dropped me off at my house this morning at about 6:30 in the morning, and I said, "So, Sean, you going to the gym?"
I thought so, but somehow sleeping on your cell phone, which is under the pillow, makes the alarm a little tough to hear, so just made it there a little while ago.
All right. And Nick the Stick was making some moves on like some girl who was, I think, engaged. Did you see that one?
Well, you know, Nick actually seeks out the girls who are engaged because he figures, you know, it's just going to be a brief attachment.
Oh, I see. Nick the Stick's 18, so he didn't do too bad for himself, I guess.
I think Nick the Stick made the proclamation over the weekend that as long as she's breathing, she's viable.
Nick the Stick actually sat there with his arm around a girl as his fiance looked on. At that point, I explained to Nick that when you get your ass kicked, I will stop it, and then I will finish kicking your ass myself.
Yeah, he doesn't know the danger involved. Yeah. He's hanging out with us. He thinks he's safe, you know.
He needs some of the rules of broism explained to him.
Well, Ron Goldstein and Stokely Palmer did put on a phenomenal show, as they have the past 3 years. And as always, John, they have the Friday night buffet special invite dinner. And he did not let me down once again. I mean, when I walked in there, I don't think you guys knew what to expect, because you really haven't been to too many of them. But How big were those freaking shrimp?
There were, I think, 6 or 8 of them in a pound. They were huge.
They were 8, right?
They go 6, 8.
Oh, 6, 8?
6 to 8 in a pound. And, they're the biggest ones you can really, get commercially. And, they were so good. And it was not only the shrimp, but they had steak and chicken and pasta all over, different kind of pasta bars. They had little stations set up all over the place. It was like going to a wedding reception.
Yeah, better. I had food like that at a wedding that I went to.
At a mafia princess wedding. It was that kind of food. It was amazing.
I must have eaten about 15 pieces of chicken franchise. And you know what? You and I, being the gloms that we are, we took food with us out of there.
Let's explain the glomisms, because we only took it because we were on our way back to the room to work all night long to get the content up. So, and of course we had the blessing of CJ to do that. So,
yes. We didn't do it without it.
Right. We weren't total, scumbags.
Semi.
It's a semi scumbag.
Now, everyone makes fun of the Trump Marine is not a bad hotel. Look, it's an older hotel there, but I think that the venue is an intimate setting. I like when it's small like that, so that everyone feels like they can kind of get a good seat and a good view. And you know what? I know that Stokely and Ron are a little upset that they didn't get more coverage, that's not the word I'm looking for, more sponsorship, more support from the supplement companies. I mean, I was one of the presenting sponsors with Species, but I saw Richie Gasparri there, and I saw MHP at a booth there in ALR, but I'd like to see more companies get involved with the show. It's a really big show. Ron's not asking for much. He's just asking for support. He puts a lot of his own money up for the show because he loves the sport of bodybuilding. And, I think if more companies, especially, the magazines that are, like Flex Magazine, I'd like to see. I don't know why MD, which is it's an East Coast magazine, is not supporting this show more, because it's nice to have a show that you can call your own right in driving distance.
Yeah, value.
I mean, it would be a shame if this show was canceled next year.
It would be a tremendous shame if this show was canceled. Granted, Atlantic City is not the easiest place to get to from everywhere in the country, but once you're there, you don't have to leave. I mean, everything's self-contained. The venue is in the hotel. There's plenty of restaurants and shops and whatnot to keep you busy there all weekend long. It's a very very festive kind of, happy setting. It's I don't know. Even given the fact that it is what it is in terms of Atlantic City, but still, it's a great. I thought the show itself, in the venue that it was in, along with all the amenities that went with it and the convenience that it fostered in us being able to cover the show, be there, get to where we had to go, do it, be able to get food and drinks when we needed them. I thought it all went really smooth, and it'll be a real shame if we don't get to have that kind of show next year.
I mean, the lineup is phenomenal. I mean, there were people from all over the place, all countries. The NPC show was great. It was a top rate show, and I even said to Ron, I said, not to kiss your ass or anything, because I really don't have to, but this lineup is probably the second best, or I should say the next best lineup behind the Arnold and the Olympia.
Yeah.
As far as competitors go, I mean, the men's show was super competitive. The 202 was. The women's bodybuilding had 25 women. I mean, thank God, Ron's, kept the women's bodybuilding alive. He had figure and fitness, and they were both all great lineups, and all the winners are people that are going to go on to the Olympia and going to do very well.
He had master's figure and a 202 also. Yeah, he had everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there were a ton of competitors in every class, and it certainly wasn't not the support was certainly there by the athletes. The athletes really, really used this opportunity to get out there and compete. It was the supporting organizations that let them down, and that's what the real travesty is.
Well, that's why we brought the full crew, and RXMuscle.com had up to the second coverage on there. We had our wrap-up video up before, while I was driving home, we were uploading it. We got all the winners' interviews will be going up. We had constant coverage and wrap-ups the entire weekend. I want to thank Michael Liberatore, who really took, he flew down there on his own expense, and he spent a lot of time with us. He did the wrap-ups, he did the play-by-play with us, and he really helped us out, and he's a very articulate, well-spoken guy, and I think a lot of people respect him.
Yeah, definitely, and he was, he also... was one of those guys that helps next to you make me even look smaller than I really am in the wrap-up videos. And still, you know, the guy's a house, man. And it was good. It was just good to hang out with him and know that, you know, he's back where he belongs in the loving arms of his New York crew. And he did a great job helping us break down the classes and the competitors.
Now, as Sean could attest to, Mike Liberatore might have the worst eating habits of all time.
And still maintain that immense amount of mass. Sean, talk about some of the things that Mike was putting down all weekend.
Let's see.
Which, by the way, he totally denies.
I don't think we've ever actually seen anyone in our presence order a regular soda at dinner, which he sucked down two or three of them.
And he had me get him a couple more from the soda machine, too.
He's drinking a regular ginger ale.
Yeah.
We might have to get him on the phone, you know, to like, you know, defend himself here.
Verify this.
We heard a story about an enormous bowl of Cheerios that he had for breakfast.
A lot
of cookies.
Yeah. And what about the pretzels and the apple juice he was drinking? Like a little kid.
Who shows up with pretzels and apple juice weighing 280?
We're all drinking 300-gram shakes of Isolize, fighting to get through the show. And we look over, and there's Mike smiling with a cold apple juice and a bag of pretzels.
Even your son Max eats better than that.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But anyway, it was a good show. Let's start breaking down this thing. Let's talk about what happened and get some analysis since we got Sean here and we're all ready to go. Obviously, I didn't mention it yet, but I think something important is to bring up is that the judging panel, you know, run by Steve Weinberger, was a really unique group of people. You know, Richie Gasparri was actually on the judging panel, which I thought was great. I mean, I know Richie would much rather sat at his booth selling product, but I like when I see former bodybuilders on that panel. Don't you, John?
Yeah, I do. I mean, really, it was, you know, we had Linda Woodhoit and we had Bev Francis, of course, were the female contingent.
And Charlie Arms,
as far as judges go. But it was really good to see Richie because, I talked to Richie last week and he said he really doesn't judge anymore because he does, as you just said, like to spend the time at his booth, you know, meeting and greeting his fans and his client base and, you know, selling product. There was also a little controversy that brought up having Richie on the judging panel because of some of the competitors that did very well were Gasparri contracted athletes. But, you know, I really want to address that because I know Richie really well. I've known him he's been my friend for 25 years, and I know that he takes the bodybuilding very, very seriously, having been a competitor himself. And there's just no way, even if he was judging classes that had his athletes in it, he's perfectly capable of separating the supplement company owner from, you know, the judge.
It doesn't even matter, John, because they dropped the two highs and two lows scores anyway. So
exactly.
It was irrelevant. And I know, like you said, Richie would never, you know, he doesn't need to do that. Now, the thing that was, I don't want to also leave out John Natashak, who's a former pro, and then John Kemper was on the judging panel. So I really like that. I think that's it was a real good judging panel in terms of experience level and people who've competed before.
Bev Francis, too.
Yeah, John mentioned Bev. And that, to me, is the best judging panel. I want to be judged by people who actually competed before.
Exactly. It lends credibility to the placing. It's very difficult to argue with a seasoned pro bodybuilder who's on your judging panel where they place you, especially when three or four other seasoned pro bodybuilders agree with them. You're just going to have to take the fact that, you know, you're not as good as you think you are and go home and do your homework. And I think that's not only the best way to be judged, but it's also the best wake-up call in terms of a critique. If you think you're all that and a panel of, you know, learned experts give you an honest assessment, then you really know where to go with what you got.
Yeah. Well, let's break down this show. Gustavo Bedell redeems himself, gets himself back into condition that we're used to seeing him in from 2005, 2004, 2006. And, you know, he really, you know, establishes himself as a guy who's back in the mix, so to speak. You and I, John, had spoken about this a little bit with Chris Aceto, and we're going to have him on a little later and talk about this a little bit more. Troy Alves, who probably was one of the best conditioned guy in the entire show, relegated to third place here with Hidetada Yamagishi placing second. Now, you know, we can discuss this from now until the end of time, what the deciding factor is, but it seems as though Gustavo brings the best package of mass and conditioning to the stage, and he's rewarded. What'd you think of him?
Yeah, I think, you know, back from the beginning of the show when we first were looking at watching the prejudging, I, you know, my statement was it's between Gustavo and Troy. And you know, Gustavo, it was almost surprising to see Gustavo, because if you've seen a guy come back enough times not looking at his best and sort of, you know, striking the sort of image that maybe this guy's going downhill, and he looks progressively worse as time goes on, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see the guy come back, and boom, it's 2003, 2004 all over again, and the guy looks huge and shredded and in incredible condition, and his waist is small again, and all the you know, all the mistakes have been corrected, and it's the guy's perfect, and you know, for all that mattered. Yeah, he deserved the win, and although I would like to have, it could have gone either way between, in my mind, it could have gone either way between Troy and Gustavo. The fact that Gustavo did win was, in fact, an inarguable point as far as anybody watching the show is concerned.
Now, Hidetada Yamagishi, who placed second, you know, the guy looked great. Let's not, you know, mince points here, but at least in my mind and a lot of the people watching the show, people were a little surprised that he took second place. Sean, what was your assessment of this whole fiasco?
Yeah, that was the biggest controversy was Hide and Troy, and Troy was bigger, in better condition, and I would say he had a more pleasing shape. So with those three factors, how can you put him behind Hide?
Yeah, I'm not really sure where that came from, and I try to look at the scores and try to construct or reconstruct what the judges were thinking. You know, back in the old days when they give you the scorecards, you'd actually see what judge said what. So all I'm seeing is total, so it's hard for me to see if maybe like one side of the panel liked this guy, the other side liked another guy, and it was a mishmash, and when you added up the scores, it was close. It wasn't a blowaway. It was close between Troy and Hide, but I didn't think it looked that way when I saw the two of them on stage. Now, Melvin Anthony, who was arguably the favorite going into this show, probably for the sheer reason that he won the show last year in really, really good condition, is relegated to fourth place here. John, do you think that was a good decision by the judges not rewarding him, seeing that he came in a little out of shape?
Well, yes. I mean, it's, you know, the Hide over Troy Alves sort of negates my prior statement about, you know, the relevance of being judged by former pros. But in the case of Melvin Anthony, I think, you know, the right thing happened. Melvin is a great, great pro bodybuilder, and in shape, he's very, very dangerous. But he did not bring the condition that he brought last year. He just didn't. That's just a fact of life. When he showed up on stage, when he showed up at pre-judging, he was soft from behind, and that's usually a problem area for Melvin, unfortunately. And at the night show, it was even worse than prejudging. So, you know, I would love to have seen Melvin finish higher. You know, I talked to him before the show, and, you know, his spirits were up there, and he was definitely on point to repeat. But when it came down to peel off, the guy fell short.
Yeah. Well, you know, I talked to Steve Weinberger after the show. You know, he did tell me that, you know, the judges thought that Troy was a little flat, maybe a little skinny looking in the prejudging. But at night, he said he got much better. Now, you know, the prejudging, you know, counts. The scores are really important at the prejudging. And I think that might have been what, you know, pushed Troy back a little bit. Whether he recovered at night a little bit, maybe just not enough, is debatable. I think he did, and I thought he should have been second, but, you know, I understand where they're coming from. But Steve did say, look, you know, I'm not going to reward Melvin if he's not in shape, and he did live up to that. Now, Leo Ingram finishes in fifth here. You know, this guy is just a mass of muscle and veins. You know, yeah. You and I, John, had spoken about, you know, possibly, you know, seeing Craig Richardson in that top five, you know, and I know you liked Robert Petrakowicz.
Yeah.
Ironically, I don't know if you saw the final score placings, Petrakowicz actually took sixth and Richardson wound up in seventh. What'd you think of that whole mix up?
I just, you know, and whenever we make these, you know, sort of critiques of it, I always have to feel like I need to remind everybody, we're not talking about the man, we're talking about the bodybuilder. And Leo Ingram is just really gigantic. But apart from being really gigantic, to me, his physique does not flow. And especially in the condition we saw him in last night, he was just big and not tight looking. And I think Petrakowicz and both Petrakowicz and Richardson had much tighter, cleaner physiques, and outdid him. How he ended up You know, in that top five is a mystery to me, but obviously the judges saw something that I didn't, and that's the way it went.
Now, only the top three qualified for the Olympia, so Gustavo, Hide, and Troy will be qualified. Obviously, Troy was already qualified. They never go to the next placing unless all three are previously qualified, which wasn't the case. I don't think Gustavo was. What do you think, Sean, about this about the final placings here? Did you think that any of the people were misplaced?
You know, as far as those last few guys go, I would have liked to see Petrakowicz in fifth. I think he had the best total package, John.
Yeah,
package. Brought the best package to the stage.
So we're going
to
stop saying that word.
No, it was a great, package. and
this reminds me of a Speedo. You know?
And a stringy-looking guy in the Speedo walking around the pool.
Right.
At the Mandalay Bay.
A tired old blue one that wouldn't go away.
With a newspaper in his hand.
It's kind of like that guy, what was his name? The last place finisher this weekend,
Jocelyn
Peltier. Yeah, he could have had the award for the biggest package.
He, you know, it's funny, but you know, he was like the joke, ongoing joke in the 90s. You know, at the Night of Champions, and he looked terrible then. Now he looks he actually might even look physique wise better. I think he was in better condition.
Yeah.
He still has no tan on. He looks like he's about 95 years old, facially speaking. What do you think is going through this guy's mind? Do you think he's a little off, John? Or do you think that he's just like, you know what, screw it, I'm going to compete, I don't care?
I think hallucinogenic drugs are going through his mind is what I think. But I like the way he changed color. I like how the way he was green at prejudging and then was yellow at night. I thought that was kind of...
You like that shade difference?
I thought that was kind of interesting. I preferred the green. It looked better on him. But I don't know why they let a guy like that compete. I mean, it's just... You know, you'd think as human beings we would want to prevent somebody from being made a laughing stock of, or you know, prevent them from doing something that you know is going to put them in a you know disgraceful situation. I mean, how can you get you know an old, out of shape guy who's you know complete antithesis of what a real bodybuilder is on stage, the exact opposite, and let him go up there and stand next to a guy like Leo Ingram, and it's just the most ridiculous, absolute crazy thing. I think the IFBB should say, look, dude, you know, you don't belong up here. It's degrading and disgraceful to everybody else concerned. You could just pick any old guy out of a geriatric home and, you know, spray some oil on him and stick him up there, and he'd look just as good.
I actually read on Get Big that he had fake gear, but so he missed his peak.
I heard.
He had fake gear. Yeah. That was it.
You know, they should have some kind of pre-qualification, you know, you have to do like every year if you don't compete for a while. Like if your license expires. Jeff, you know about that. Like they make you take the road test again. This guy couldn't pass the road test of bodybuilding, John.
No. This guy couldn't turn pro in Ethiopia. It's just not possible. I don't know. How is he a pro? Where does he come from?
Well, I'd like to see what he looked like when he did turn pro.
Yeah.
I bet he didn't look much different.
I don't. What was he? The champion of France?
Canadian. He's Canadian. He probably
has to replace first in the Colombian prejudging for the biggest dude.
I know a guy who's a pro who turned pro at one of these Latin games, and he was actually he came in fourth in his class. All right, there was only four guys in the class. Now the weight class winners turned pro. The first three guys failed the drug test. He turned pro he was the worst one in the show. And believe me, he's not that great of a pro, you know, now. But my point is that, you know, there's always a way, you know, you can do it, I guess. And Peltier probably, you know, wound up in a similar situation. Let's talk about the men's 202 class. Flex Lewis waits all year round to compete at the very last qualifier. Because he wants to put on size, John. That's exactly what his lovely wife, who won the bikini NPC bikini overall, told me. And you know, it seemed to have worked for him. It definitely seemed to work for him because his back was significantly bigger. I can see he definitely made some improvements in his physique. How the guy makes 202, I don't even know. But was there anyone more shredded than Flex Lewis in this contest?
Well, you know, the shredded factor could have gone either way between Flex Lewis and Jose Raymond. Jose Raymond was also shredded. But the difference was, and I think is what edged out Flex Lewis over Jose Raymond, is that Flex Lewis's actual detail was deep and etched. He was not only shredded, but his detail was really deep. He had big separate, very deep separation in his muscles, and he looked just a huge, massive. How that guy? He looked like he weighed 240. He looked incredibly big for being and only weighing 202.
I'm going to disagree. I don't think that Flex Lewis appears big to me. At least,
really,
not in my eye. No, he has a phenomenal shape to his muscle. He's got great presentation. I think that his conditioning level was almost like Dorian-esque, if I use that term. And I think that that's what really won him over. If anyone looked huge on stage, I would say Jose Raymond looked enormous.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, this guy has got mountains of muscles. It's unbelievable how he went from what he looked like at the New York Pro early this year. I think he said he was like 187 pounds, to being just barely 198 on stage. Sean, were you impressed?
Yeah, absolutely. More impressed by his change than, what he brought was good. It could be better. I think by next year, if he sticks with what he's doing, he's going to have that deeper separation, and he's going to be one of the top guys, because he's definitely bigger than Flex Lewis. I mean, Flex Lewis must be what, 190 or so.
What is it that makes that change? How can you you look at a guy who just looks like he's ready to explode? He's just big and full, and then is it what aspect of diet and training is it that gets you more sucked in like that, so that your separation becomes more pronounced and more deep, rather than looking like you have an air hose stuck in an orifice?
I think that Jose Raymond, number one, a lot of people don't know this, after he turned pro at the Nationals, remember, he kept moving up a weight class every year, from welters to, or lights to welters to middles. He turned pro at middle. He broke his leg right after that. A lot of people don't know that. He broke his fibula or something like that, and he was out of action for quite a while, and he got fat. He got up to like 280 pounds, and he was not a pretty sight from what he told me. That's why he let his hair grow out. He just was depressed all the time. And so for him to get down to that 187 for the New York show, I don't think he ever put the muscle back on that he had lost. After that show, he took a little time, and I think he started growing again. Now, Jose is just on the upward spiral. He's still into that growth phase, and don't be surprised if he even gets bigger than he is. I think he might have overcarbed a little bit, and maybe that's why he wasn't quite as separated as, say, a Flex Lewis. But then again, you got different levels of genetics too. Flex has always had that flat, like separated, dry look to his physique. Jose's always been a little fuller to me, and always borders on almost not being in shape. So they have different genetics that they're dealing with, and they got to play it to their advantage. Jose's got to not make the mistake of trying to come in too big and just come in as sliced as possible. Flex Lewis has to probably be careful that he doesn't come in too flat, because he's got that kind of a physique.
Interesting.
Now, Clarence DeVise snuck in third there. A lot of us thought Jeff Box Long was going to snag third from the call-outs at the pre-judging. I know he was very disappointed that he wound up in fourth place. Clarence DeVise is a guy from Belgium who is being trained by Tim Gardner now, and this guy looks exactly like Kai Green. It's uncanny. He's even got the big ponytail in the back, and his posing is almost a lot like Kai Green. He did a Michael Jackson rendition I forgot what song it was, but
several. He had a compilation of Michael Jackson songs.
This guy is phenomenal. I'm going to put his posing routine up probably in the next day or two, but were you impressed, Sean?
Yes. Anytime a guy is able to, sort of climb out of that shell that bodybuilders always, construct around them, and be animated and sort of lighthearted about the whole thing. The guy is very happy. He's very jovial, smiling, happy guy, and he's excited about what he's doing, and his excitement shows. He's got that sort of Gustavo Bedell attitude, on the stage, only, he sort of exemplifies it in a more, pleasing way. Not that Gustavo's not pleasing in his way, but it's just more, corralled. This guy dances and has a great presentation. I mean, he's just jumping
Gustavo
around.
Yells.
Gustavo yells. This guy dances. So, it was cool to see. It was great to see a guy having fun posing and putting his routine together and choreographing it and giving all of us something really good to look at.
Now, Steve Weinberger is the one who actually went up to Clarence after the Europa. Sean and I were out there and said, "Hey, you got to drop down to 202 because you're probably you only got to lose 10 pounds." And the guy did. And I still think that Clarence can be a little tighter.
Yeah.
Hopefully, when he gets to the Olympia in 2 weeks, he'll bring it in even more. This guy's going to dazzle them on the stage. He may not beat Kevin English or David Henry, but I guarantee you he puts on a show. Personally, I think if this guy can get in the condition that these other guys like Kevin English do and Flex Lewis do, he might give them all a run for their money.
You know, I totally agree with you. He's a little freak. He's got a freaky looking physique. He's got huge calves and big round freaky looking muscle bellies. He's very interesting to look at. And if he can get totally shredded like David Henry or Kevin English or Flex Lewis, this guy is going to be dangerous in the 202 class.
Now, Pedro Barone finishes in fifth. He's from Mexico. He's being trained by Charles Glass. He actually came up to me at the show, and he said to me, you know, I don't have a cell phone that works here, and he wanted me to write down the names of the guys I thought he'd be competing with, you know, be competitive with in this class, so he can call Charles Glass. Very nice guy, and, you know, like Sean and I were saying, John is the one who said it, got to vote for Pedro.
A vote for Pedro is a vote for Colombia.
Or Mexico. And Pedro's.
Colombia is where I'm from.
I thought it was Pedro. Diego. I didn't think it was Pedro. I thought it was Diego.
He might be
stage.
Diego's cousin, for all we know.
He's not from my country. But well, I love him anyway.
You know, John, let's take a break because we got to get our sponsors some exposure. When we come back, we're going to just knock out the women real quick, and then we're going to get to our first guest.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent, legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product. When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the horde than to be destroyed by it.
German, American, technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGATT.com. That's TeamGATT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGATT.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is Chuck Zito, and you're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with Dave Palumbo and John Romano.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm John Romano, sitting here with my partner in crime, Dave Palumbo. We have Big Sean Andros here with us, breaking down the show, along with Jeff, the producer, holding it down in the background. Dave, we just went over all the men, the Open and the 202, and I like you said, we want to knock out the women.
Or knock up, as you said.
I said not knock up.
I got a little bit of sad news. Billy Gunn is moving back to New York. Now, I mean, not sad for us.
Speaking of women.
Yeah, he's. I guess he's not working out with his girl down there, and he's upset. He told me he's going to make a comeback to the bodybuilding stage. So anyone out there who's been upset that Billy has been off the out of the scene, will be welcoming back. I actually hear a rumor that he might be staying in my house for a couple of days, so we'll have to get him in the studio live with us.
You know, that's really a sad story. You know, we joke or use Billy Gunn as the butt of a lot of jokes, but what this woman has done to him is it's really unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, we'll get him on the show. We'll debrief him.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll have to explain everything in Billy Gunn's detail.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the women. Lisa Auckland does something that no other woman has done in Atlantic City history. She wins 4 years in a row. Actually, I think she's won every year they've had the show. So this girl's amazing. She's, I think, 53 or 54 years old. Or I hope I'm not upping her age beyond what it is.
I think you are. I think she's 52.
Oh, she's 52?
I think.
Oh. Anyway,
she's kind of old regardless.
She's a top three Olympia 50. Competitor. And, you know, she uses this show as a warm-up for the Olympia, which is going to be in 2 weeks, obviously. She brings her family. They live kind of around the area. They get to watch her compete. And you know what? She just dominated this competition. I don't think anyone of us will deny the fact that there was no one even close to her.
No. And, you know, the thing with her that I think is the most impressive and rare as far as female bodybuilders go, especially female bodybuilders that pack on the amount of mass that woman has, is that she's still, and you got to consider her age and her size, she still exudes that you know, sort of femininity that's captivating and makes you want to look at her and, you right. know, think things that, you know, whatever. But, you know, I just really, that's a really impressive thing, because so many women can't capture that. You know, they get way too big and they start looking kind of gnarly, and it's just kind of all over for them femininity wise.
She's done it very slowly, John. Don't forget, she went through the Team Universe to get her pro card.
Right.
And she's never really added a lot of muscle any 1 year, but it's just been a consistent process. And I think that, you know, she lives the lifestyle. And, you know, she's also a PhD in pharmacy. The woman's a smart woman, and she's got a really, I think she's got a boyfriend who's like half her age or something like that.
Like you said, she's a smart woman.
I think she's dating Nick the Stick, actually, personally, but
that's a fourth
Nick the Stick
age.
Had his first schmo experience. He had a little Christy Hawkins crush this weekend.
Oh, did he? Oh, wow.
Well, speaking of Christy Hawkins, I don't like Christy at all. I don't know what you're talking about. I was over here my own thing.
He only likes Ariel. Yeah.
Ariel. I love you, Ariel. Thank you.
Now, Christy Hawkins took second place here this past weekend, and that was a very important important marking for her because she has never placed in a pro show. The first show she did was like the Arnold, which I thought was a very big endeavor she took on. Now she's qualified for her first Miss Olympia. She's young. She's also another PhD person. She's working for some serious chemical company in San Francisco. She also dates, as we know, Brandon Ray. And, you know, she's another one, John, who's very pretty. She exudes tons of femininity on stage. Mm-hmm. And she's got a lot of muscle.
Yeah, she's got a lot of muscle. She's got the lats from hell, I think the women on our site refer to her as. But, you know, she's on stage, she really brings it in a very feminine way. And that's nice to see. It's what bodybuilding needs. And I think for Nick's first schmo experience, that's a great way to start.
I don't know. Sorry, I really don't appreciate bringing my naval costume like this. I really work hard for RX Muscle. You give me a mention in the video. I don't know. Come on, man. I don't know.
Poor Nick.
And another impression to Jeff's long drawing list.
Yep.
And now Nicole Ball finishes in third and grabs that third Olympia qualification spot. I don't think anyone will deny that she's probably, you know, and this is not an insult to anyone else, she's probably the best looking female bodybuilder out there. And I think a testament to that is the fact that when we put up that interview with her with all those pictures on our site, people went crazy. Jen.
Yeah, it was. I'm in agreement.
Wow. Then it must be true.
It must be true.
Well, you know, after you see her up close, you know, you see how much better she is in person.
Yeah. She is prettier in person.
She's actually prettier in person than she is on stage. And she's a really sweet woman and very nice. And
cooks too.
Yeah, boy, does she ever. She made us at all those. She has an interesting quirk about her dieting. She maintains her dieting sanity by baking for the town, as she calls it. And she made all kinds of banana bread and pumpkin bread and cookies and cakes and stuff. And she brought us this gigantic Tupperware tub full of it, and I think she gave us two helpings of treats for the room.
Yeah,
she's also not just Susie Homemaker either. We're all a bunch of big pussies compared to her.
Yeah, that girl can throw down too. So she's gonna land herself a spot on the RX Muscle Hall of Fame.
She's cut a few fingers off too using a bandsaw. That's pretty cool, I think. Don't you think, John? For a girl,
yeah. She gets. She's apparently a lethal fighter. she's not afraid of power tools. She cooks, and she's got some mass.
Well, no one will deny that Nicole Ball is probably the most desirable female bodybuilder out there.
For now,
too bad she's taken. But anyway, Brenda Ragano finishes in fourth. Claudia Larson in fifth. The whole entire top five were really aesthetic looking female bodybuilders. They were very attractive, and you know what, if this represented the sport of bodybuilding, John, I would be very happy.
You know, I wanted to make that point, Dave. And Sean, I want you to see if you agree with me. In years past, it was easy to look at a women's bodybuilding show, especially on the pro level, and sort of, you know, question the sort of validity of what you were looking at. These days, and especially this last show, I saw a very feminine field of attractive women bodybuilders. What did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm usually a lot more critical of you guys than the female bodybuilders, but I mean, if Nicole Ball, Claudia Larson, Benny Lopez, there were a few of them. These smaller
girl,
girls.
Athena,
there was a bigger girl who's also very aesthetic and, you know, pleasing. Then I got no problem with that. That's where I'd like to see it go.
I think the evolution is going that way. I mean, we're moving away from that phase we were in there at the end of the 90s when it was just getting really out of hand. And I think that what we're seeing now are built muscular women that have really put the woman back in women's bodybuilding.
Yeah, and you know, at 25 women, this show really proves the fact that women's bodybuilding is not dying and is around. And you know what, there were a lot of fans there for the women bodybuilders. I saw them, I heard them. There might have been more there for female bodybuilders than for figure and fitness. But speaking of figure and fitness, let's just run through that real quick, and then we're going to go to another commercial break, and we're going to have our first guest, Larissa Rice, the Brazilian, who was told last year she was too muscular, tones down her body, comes back here, John, and really dominates this competition, beating Sherilyn Roy, who's second, and Alicia Harris, one of my favorites, in third. All three girls qualify for the Olympia. Will Larissa, and I asked you this on the wrap-up, will Larissa wind up replacing Javille for that hot girl on the panel?
I think she could, but however, like you know, the women's bodybuilding, I'm noticing a lot more, you know, very beautiful figure girls coming up, and not all of them placed. There were still plenty of them left in the lineup that could qualify as Javille replacements. Javille Rodinenye is going to be sorely missed in figure because she was an absolutely stunning, beautiful woman with a very sweet temperament and a really nice person.
Well, she didn't die. She went to the WWE. Yeah,
I know, but she's missed in the sport. Right. She went to the WWE. But, you know,
you were doing an obituary for
her. No, I was not. I mean, she'll be sorely missed in the sport, but she's went on to bigger and better things, which is great, which is what the sport should do.
Right. I miss her already.
Well, you...
I'm missing her too.
Yeah, we all miss her.
Nick the Stick misses her too.
She's not even training at Bev's anymore. So
I think she is. I've seen her.
No, she moved to Tampa. Oh, she's going to wrestling school. You know, God bless her. We're very happy that she got this opportunity and she's going to make the most of it. Yeah. That said, Larissa Rice. Yeah, how do you pronounce her name? Larissa Rice.
You just lost any chance of hooking up with her.
I'm not hooking. I'm not trying to.
Lovely Larissa, I think you want
Larissa
to say.
Larissa Rice or Reese?
Rice.
Larissa Rice. The question is, can Larissa Rice be the Javille Rodinenye replacement? And I say yes.
I think they got a couple of these girls now who are maybe a little smaller, muscular-wise, very pretty. There's Jessica Paxson Putnam. Javille is gone. There's this
Heather May French.
Heather May French, which... I don't know. Heather May French is just sexy. She's like, she's porno hot.
Sherilyn Roy is great.
I just completely lost the point.
Sherilyn Roy is great. And, you know, the girl that didn't place that we shot last night for our RX Muscle, Amanda Hart. I think her first name's
Alicia
Amanda.
Hart.
Alicia Hart. She's smoking beautiful, too. So, you know, and great physique. So I think, you know, there's a lot of them coming up. And, you know, I think Javille may have broken the ice with that sort of, you know, the sort of image that figure girl should strike. And I think there's a lot of other girls ready to fill in the void.
Let's talk about fitness. Tracy Greenwood establishes herself as a three-time champion here. And she probably would have won 4 years in a row had she not broken her thumb doing a routine. Mm. She's using this as a warm-up, obviously, for the Olympia. And it'll be interesting to see how she does. She possibly can steal that title this year. I know Adela is coming back after a year of injury, but the defending champion, Jen Hendershot, won't be there. So that should be interesting to see how Tracy does. Tanji Johnson gets herself in the best shape of her life. I've never seen her in such great condition. She told me she was doing almost 3 hours of cardio a day. So, and it showed, and her routine is kick-ass. And Bethany Wagner snags that third Olympia qualification spot. So all three of those girls will be at the Olympia. And all in all, I thought it was a great lineup, John. I thought that the competition was phenomenal. And I implore Ron Goldstein to hold the show again next year, despite, you know, whatever these other people are not supporting. I will be there. I'll put up my money where my mouth is, like I did this year, and RX Muscle will support him as much as possible.
Yeah, you know, Dave, I think it's interesting. You have, you know, you and Species have supported this show tremendously, and a lot of the other women's shows. And, you know, you're a startup company. You're not that big. You're medium-sized. There's other companies out there that make hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And in this climate where their success relies on the audience and the competitors using their products, for them not to step up to the plate and keep these shows going is an absolute greed-driven travesty that needs to be addressed by this community.
I mean, let them at least... send grad bags, you know, of stuff to send out, even if they don't want to send a booth there, because I know sometimes the booth is expensive. Send product, you know what I mean? Send banners, you know, but give Ron money so that this show can survive. I mean, everyone rallied behind Tim Gardner this past year and kept that Tampa Bay alive. So I'd really like to see this show stay here. I think Ron and Stokely are doing a great job. And I want to thank them for inviting us and treating us like VIPs. John, but for now, we got to go to commercial break. When we come back, we got some great guests. We got Gustavo Bedell on the line. We got Chris Aceto. And we're going to find out what these guys think about the show and the coming Olympia.
All right. See you in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29-gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy, it's better to be a member of the Horde than to be destroyed by it. German American Technologies. Compete harder with GATT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. GATT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com. RXMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RXMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RXMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno of Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo. And keep listening, the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Our next guest resurrected his career at this past Saturday's IFBB Atlantic City Pro by defying the odds and winning his third pro show of his career. No one was more excited about the man that we love to call the Freakin' Rican, Gustavo Bedell. Welcome.
Hey, hi, everybody. All my fans to listen, the show all over the state and all over the world. So I'm very happy. You guys give me the opportunity to talk to my fans and show them that I'm very happy. And it really is, for me, it's a pleasure. And they have, people forgot my name sometimes. I let them know the people that I'm here, that I'm back, and I'm trying to put like a little excitement on the Olympia and then 2 weeks, see what happens.
Yeah, well, it's good that we get to talk to you, actually. Now, Gustavo, after placing as high as third at the Mr. Olympia in 2005, you had kind of a tough run on the competitive stage these past few years. Give us a little explanation as to why you think you kind of fell off the map a little bit and maybe what was going on in your life during this time period.
Well, the thing is, sometimes when you succeed, you're always start making mistakes, and that's what happened to me personally. And I did really good 2004, 2005, and I started, doing, shows and trying to make more shows and trying to win more shows. And that's good, it's just important before everybody, especially when you're professional, trying to be the best. But sometimes you lost your way, and sometimes you make mistakes, so respecting, focus on what you want, what you do in life. And sometimes you lost it. That's what happened to me. Really, I've been doing a lot of things, and after those shows, 2004, 2005, 2006, I started losing them. Started losing them. That's my concentration, my discipline, my constancy. That's, mean bodybuilding for me is my passion. So when you got that point in your career, sometimes you lost it. You think oh my God, I'm here. That's it. And it's not the perfect way to handle your career like professional. And I make a lot of mistakes, definitely. I learn from my mistakes and trying to fix it, and that's why I'm back. But it's just more when you success, you start, failing in about, what bodybuilding means, all this, the discipline, all the perseverance, all everything you do in life, respect. And I think I lost a little bit. And other thing is, I started, creating my family. Now I have 4 kids. That's, giving me a lot of, problems too, because my wife is very busy, with the kids, having kids, and you have to work, I have to work out. So always, bodybuilding, people say this is an individual sport. It's not. It's just a team sport, because many people is around you helping you. And, in some way, like, for example, my wife and I, we worked together for a long time. She cooked for me. She always, take care of me. When you have a kid, they have all the persons, you have more important things happen in your life. And sometimes you think you can do yourself, and it's not. Another thing is, you need somebody next to you who you can trust. You can trust his knowledge, you can trust his experience. And I was just by myself the last, few years, the last, 2 years. And I found, now my guy, my nutrition, my coach, and this is Chad Nichols. So thank God, we found, I found them, and then now we got a lot of things, working. And then together we got a lot of things in mind and the future. And then right now,
let me stop you for a second, because you mentioned something interesting. Chad Nichols, you got him back into your life, so to speak. Had you worked with him prior to that?
Yeah, totally. Chad and I, we work, we work together for this show, and actually was a guy giving me opportunity to work with him, and I feel, very, very, very happy, because, like I said, I was lost. I mean, I have so many experiences and many shows, but sometimes you need somebody you can trust, really, and that person, I was expecting that, it's not important no more, because I'm a professional. I've been doing really good in many shows.
Right.
But, no, it's not like that. You always need somebody who can trust, who got the knowledge. And thank God, well, Chad and I, we put it all the effort together, and Well, he gave me opportunity, and of course, for me, was a perfect time, you know, to start with somebody, and then focus, and then just being concentrated about what I want. And I said, okay, well, I need to do this, and I can do it, and I can show to everybody sometime. You make mistakes, but you can fix it, and you can, you know, put everything, you know, in perspective, and to put it more effort into the things that you want to do most. And I did it. And me and Chad right now, we're very happy together what we did together. And of course, we got a lot of, you know, plan in the future, especially in 2 weeks, Mr. Olympia.
Well, yeah. it looks like you really have got it back together, Gustavo, because we were looking at the Gustavo of old. Gustavo was back, and you were even to the point where you were making a lot of noise on stage while you were hitting your poses, even to the point where Steve Weinberger, the head judge, started screaming back at you through the microphone. Does that psych you up? Why do you do that? How come you have all that racket up there?
Bro, you know, you understand it. Your bodybuilding is so boring. I mean, you got to do diet, you got to train hard, you got to get up in the morning and do 1 hour cardio, you got to sacrifice yourself so much and so hard. And then at the end, you go on stage and you say nothing. We don't have a chance to talk. Definitely bodybuilding sport, it showed the physique. And it's just the excitement that I said, okay, I did it good. I'm here. I belong with this, you know, stage. And, I let it know all my fans, I let it know all the people that I'm happy that I belong here, that I'm happy that I'm back, that I'm happy that, you know, works so hard to show you guys, to show everybody, you know, everybody can do, everybody got opportunity. It's just focus, giving motivation to all those kids. They have in their mind being professional, being good, being successful. So, hey, this is possible. I'm here. I'm screaming. I'm happy. And going to battle it out with all this guy. Going to try to win. I don't know what's going to happen. But really, 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 today, this is my day. Because I've been working hard for 14 weeks. People hear from me. Let me show what I feel, you know, and that's excitement. It's not lack of respect for nobody. I don't try to be, you know, I don't pretend to be different. No, I was just trying to be happy. I tried to be more dramatic and on stage, like, okay, you know, I did it, because it's for being bodybuilding professional and being in that condition and that stage, that's a great success. Even you don't know if you're going to win or not. It's just being there, looking good. That's tremendous, and that's me, bro. I mean, this just now, you know, for trying to create a call, you know, people, Gustavo screaming. It's not screaming. It's just I feel happy, and there's a way I show it to the fans. That's it.
Now, your enthusiasm was definitely detectable. We can see you were psyched about it. Now, in that Atlantic City lineup that took place this past Saturday, Gustavo, who in that top five group were you most concerned about? Which person did you think you're going to have the most trouble with?
Oh, well, I mean, they're all good. I mean, when you're professional level, it's really hard. I mean, everybody looks good. Everybody looks big. Everybody looks, you know, shredded. But everybody knows the names. Everybody knows the people. They have a coach behind them. The people they've been doing really good in the shows. Like, you know, I was talking about my friend Melvin Anthony. Melvin Anthony is a top six Miss Olympia twice, 2 years in a row. And as they say, okay, he's very dangerous. Melvin Hill, we've got a good physique. And besides Melvin, it's Troy Av. He just won a show, you know, a couple weeks ago. And the other guy was Jim Gishy. He's getting better and better every show. And I know there's a lot of hungry, you know, people, a lot of professionals, they're trying to get, you know, better places, and they're working really hard. So everybody's dangerous when you're going to compete. It's just, you know, make sure they respect everybody and make sure you show to the judges, you know, your best and your hard work, and that's what I did, you know. But I definitely, every time I go to compete, I go on stage, I respect everybody, because bodybuilding, is very unpredictable. You know, today you look great, tomorrow you don't look so great. If the timing is, you know, everything is so unpredictable. Thank God, right now in my corner, I have Jack Nichols that make help me, you know, to be more exactly. I mean, the timing more exactly. Everything is more perfect. Everything is more predictable, and make me feel more confidence. And that confidence I showed to the people on the Saturday, like last Saturday, Atlanta City.
You certainly did, Gustavo. But during the competition at the prejudging, in your mind, what was it that clinched it for you? What was it about your physique that you think made the judges select you?
I think hardness, dryness. I mean, always, you know, I bring thick muscles and trying to be really big and trying to be rounded, but sometimes conditioning is most important. That's maybe was my problem in the last few shows, and I said, okay, maybe if you have to, you know, we need to fix this. And Chad and I, we agree on something. Condition is the key, and because I never had problem training hard, I never had a problem with my dieting. It's just the timing, you know, the condition and the dryness is very important. I said, well, if it's everything's go well, I mean, it's important to show to the judges they have dryness and they have very, very sharp, you know, condition. That's what they're looking for. And I know with my size and my experience on stage, because I've been, you know, competing 17 or 6 times, Miss Olympia 7 times, so I got a little bit more experience than most of those guys, you know. And I said, okay, let me try to bring that confidence that I have right now and show to the judges that I'm here, that I'm complete, and that I did my job. And that's, you know, just what I tried, you know, to. That's what I did the last Saturday.
All right, well, Gustavo, now we have the Mr. Olympia contest coming up in 2 weeks now. Just before I go into this question, I want to ask you one thing. What were you weighing on stage? Because I don't really, you look huge.
Oh, you know what? I mean, get me wrong, but this is for the first time in my life, I didn't even pay attention about my weight. I noticed the last time I checked my weight was 258. It was like, wow. You know, 10 days out of the show. But definitely dryness, I don't know, maybe 250, to, I don't know, 251. But I, you know, honestly, I feel very comfortable. I don't even think about the weight. I think it's just about being the complete package, trying to feel my muscle full and dry and hard. And so, I mean, in any moment, I never talk about, you know, my weight. I talk about how I look every pose that I hit, trying to bring, you know, more, very, very complete package, every pose, trying to put out my best, just giving the, you know, perfect pose, hitting every pose so perfectly that, you know, giving chance to nobody to beat me and trying to beat everybody on the stage.
You look like you were 250, you were big. Now, going into this Mr. Olympia, which is probably one of the most competitive lineups in the entire history of the event, how do you think you'll stack up next to guys like, say, Kai Greene, Jay Cutler, Dexter Jackson, Phil Heath? Do you think you can stand with these guys?
Well, it's not different, you know, sport. It's the same sport, different game, different show. But the judges are gonna looking for the best, the most complete package. You know, I think everybody got, you know, strongest and weaknesses. So let's see who will bring more strong, you know, strong points. I believe in myself that I can do a little bit more than I did in Atlanta City, and then that's what we're trying to show to the. To the Miss Olympia, and definitely I want to try to prove that once again that I want to hit every pose still perfectly. I'm going to try to, you know, being with the best, and I know there's going to be a lot of good guys, but, you know, like I said, it's unpredictable. I mean, I'll be ready, and I've been in Miss Olympia stage for many years. I've been doing third place couple times. I've been competing with Ronnie Coleman, Jay Cutler, Dex Jackson many times, Victor Martinez. So I'm not, well, what happened the last, you know, years was, a little problems. But I made mistakes and trying to fix it. And now they're going to bring the new package and trying to bring the new me with the best, you know, symmetry, the best, you know, complete packaging and trying to put it like, you know, everybody got, you know, really a good opportunity. But no one right now can say no one in Olympia is just totally a champion already. I mean, we need to battle out. There's like a lot of good. It's a good show. There's gonna be a lot of good guys, but no one is just so dramatic, better than no one. It's just everybody got their point, you know, good strong point, good physics, illustration, or whatever, you know, package. But you know, the day of the show is when the judges are gonna decide and the fans gonna see who looks better. I believe, you know, everybody gonna look good, but you know, put it all together, see how the package, yeah, each one, and then the judges are gonna decide. I feel really, really confident and comfortable that the way that I look right now, and I know I can do a little bit more in 2 weeks. Actually, I have a lot of motivation. I finished my show last night. My diet started again this morning with my cardio and everything. So people knows me. People know that I'm very focused on this. I'm very disciplined. I respect this very much. So no one can say that for me that's enough or that the end of the show was last night. No, was it the beginning? Was it just a little bit taste that people can see that I'm back and I'm trying to be better for the Olympia for sure. And anything can happen. Really, 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 my honest opinion. People are gonna look at me because I'm gonna bring really, really, really good things for the Miss Olympia.
Well, the only criticism that I think anyone could level against you, Gustavo, is that this past weekend, people would have liked to have seen your front quads look a little bit bigger like they have in the past. Are you dealing with any injuries or anything that may have caused you some problems in that area, or is it your training?
Well, this I think it's more. It's just a picture. Sometimes when you're on stage, you're moving, different way. You're posing different way. The camera sometimes they're taking a different angle, and but the judges looking, the body. The judges looking for the best physics, and of course I have a problems with my legs. It's not because I got injured, it's because I've been training my legs so hard that right now I guess it's not gonna happen. It's just always they got different physics. It's just not, you don't want to see a perfect body. Everybody got perfect every body part. You're gonna see some Dexter Jackson with a good physique, maybe he got a problem with his calf. Or maybe you're gonna see a field heat, and you're gonna have problem with some, I don't know. I think it's
clavicles.
Yeah. I mean, people see. You need a little bit more to be perfect. If you want to be perfect, I need to be Mr. Olympia. Okay. Let me work on this, and let me try to fix everything. And try to be better. If the judges want me, a little bit over my legs or on my chest or my details and my abs, anything, well, I want to try to fix it. But really, really, no one is perfect. You can mention any name bodybuilding, I can tell, and you know better than everybody that witnessed it and the strongest. So maybe people focus, because I won the show last night, now focus on something, try to give me a lot of criticism about Gustavo need a little bit more of this. Yeah, if you have a little bit more of that, I need to be Mr. Olympia. So let's wait 2 weeks, and they put all those guys together, comparison, and see, okay, Gustavo need this, or the other guys need this, but, give me a chance to all those guys, comparison, pose by pose, and people going to see, who looks better, who bring the most complete package. Sometimes it's not the size. Sometimes it's the illusion. Sometimes it's conditions. Sometimes it's skin. Sometimes it's the way you show your muscles. So, anything can happen. But you got a time to fix it if you have any of those problems. So let's see what happens in 2 weeks. But not right now, I don't have any problem with my physique. I don't have any injuries. I don't have any discussion about, trying to change nothing in my body. It's just trying to give it more conditioning, trying to bring the best, size that I can, because it's bodybuilding, and the Super Bowl, Mr. Olympia, we need to be huge. If you don't have size, go compete 202. I mean, we need to try to bring
the bigger guys on stage with the better condition, with the charmless condition, with the crazy symmetry, and then trying to fix it, trying to put it this, because no one has those package genetically. There's a few guys that have more genetic than others. In my case, I got to work hard. And if everything that I work hard, I'm fixing really good. Well, and right now, thank God I have in my corner chat that helped me to get this situation and put it the best package that I can for the link there.
Right. Well, you know, pose for pose, we know that you're the best, Gustavo, because you defeated the great Ronnie Coleman in the challenge round back in the day when they had the pose for pose. So if it comes down to that, you know, we know you're going to probably do very well in that area. I'm glad to see that the old Gustavo's back and that you're looking peaked out again and you're best I've ever seen you. And good luck in 2 weeks, man.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to, you know, talk to my fans, and for the respect that you have other every athlete, and give the opportunity to everybody to know what happens in the industry right now, and, you know, I let it know with all my fans that it's going to be even better for Miss Olympia. It's going to be interesting just to put a little bit of excitement in the Miss Olympia, and nothing is bodybuilding is unpredictable. Let's see what happens. I'll do my best. And it definitely is going to be one of the best Olympia ever, for sure.
Well, best of luck. We'll see you in 2 weeks, man. And I really respect you coming on the show and showing us your love.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your time.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RXMuscle.com. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then fuel your workouts with the great tasting and energy enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today. When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenix protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenixSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenix product. When the world crumbles around you, will you be ready to fight back? Brutal Alchemy Performance Nutrition's unique line of supplements will help you win the war in the gym. Ancient Strength is a unique blend of 3 creatine esters which will infuse you with the ancient strength needed for the battle at hand. Isolation is a pure whey protein isolate that provides 26 grams of protein in every 29 gram scoop. Attack NO2 is Brutal Alchemy's nitric oxide booster that will increase your pumps and performance. After your battle in the gym, it's time for Onslaught, Brutal Alchemy's comprehensive post-workout drink, providing everything you need to suffuse your muscles, joints, and body with the components to heal, grow stronger, and return to the fray. And when it's time to conquer in the bedroom, you'll need Forged Steel, Brutal Alchemy's male enhancement product. Lead the charge to BrutalAlchemy.com to obtain the essential elements of your brutal transformation. Brutal Alchemy. It's better to be a member of the horde than to be destroyed by it.
German, American, technologies. Compete harder with GAT supplements. Need energy? Gotta lose the fat? Jet Fuel is the answer. Want to build muscle? Use Testogen to ramp up testosterone and start adding the size. How about some muscle exploding pumps and an enhanced training experience? You gotta get your hands on some Jet Fuel. Jet Fuel, GAT's newest nitric oxide training supplement that's guaranteed to work the second you try it. Join the team. Visit German American Technologies website now at TeamGAT.com. That's TeamGAT.com. German American Technologies. Compete harder. TeamGAT.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com. Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenix. Visit ProgenixSRG.com.
All right, everybody. I'd like to welcome back to our show the contest prep guru and owner of ProCard Nutrition, the man who got Troy Alves into the best shape of his life this past weekend at the Atlantic City Pro, our good friend Chris Aceto. Chris, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back. That's Troy Alves beeping in on me, but go ahead. It is. He just got off his flight, I can tell.
You have bigger names on the phone.
Yeah. Elvis is on the line. Go ahead.
Chris, first of all, thanks for pulling over and answering a few questions for us here in our little impromptu meeting. The Atlantic City Pro seemed to be, by all accounts, Melvin Anthony's show to lose. And, when we got there, we saw him prejudging. He came out. We saw he was off. And, of course, Troy Alves, your guy, was on like Donkey Kong. At that point, did you know it was Troy's show?
John, I felt that it was Troy's show to lose, actually, because I knew the way he was. I knew what he looked at the Europa. I knew the way he looked at the Europa, and I knew the improvements that he was, putting together, getting for this show. And the morning of the show, I told him, Troy, it's my opinion, you're going to win the show because you've got too much to look at. You got the shape, fantastic shape, crazy V taper. You got some shots that are just, fantastic looking. You got unbelievable condition. And, at the end of the day, when they put you next to these other guys and you hit your shot or you do your stance from the front or whatever, your small waist, there's just too much to look at. And for me, that's what, that's how a lot of times I prejudge a prejudging is, if I'm a judge and I'm looking at two bodybuilders, which one of them is my eye going to defer to every single time? And it'd be condition, but also you got to have, other things. And he has the shape and, enough size. He's not a mass monster, obviously, but, his arms are as big as his head. His delts are, the best in the, at least the V taper from the front, the best on stage. So, I thought it was his show to lose, regardless of, Melvin being the quote top guy.
Well, Melvin was a defending champion because he won the show last year. But were you worried? Because I know Melvin's gotten gifts before, maybe not in recent time, but he's gotten some gifts, where he came in not as tight as he should have. I mean, when I saw him walk out on stage, I was a little worried. Did you think that the judges would judge that, the right way, which they did?
Well, I don't know why. A lot of people say Melvin gets gifts, and, he has got a lot of gifts, but, he's got an odd physique in that, he looks soft as can be sometimes during the show, but sometimes when he hits his shots, he looks good, and, of course, he's got the shape, and he's got good size. But, having said all that, when Troy was number two, Melvin was number three. When Troy came out on the stage and he just, stood big on the stage with the tight quads and his legs were like razor blades and he had the big V taper. I thought he was going to win there because I didn't think anyone else would have that, you know, total package at condition and so forth. And I think you could feel that in the audience. You know what I mean? I always go by two, you know. Right. I mean, I go by my opinion, but, you know, I try to get a sense for where the momentum is. You know what I mean?
Sure.
No.
Sure.
I mean, you know when somebody's like, whoa, impressive. And then when Melvin came out, you could hear, you know, a pin drop, so...
Right.
I thought, okay, there's the show right there.
All right, well, you know, obviously Gustavo winds up winning the show. Hidetada places second. Troy gets relegated to the third. After the show, I was a little upset. And, you know, Steve Weinberg and I are pretty close. And I said, you know what? He's the head judge. Let me ask him what his opinion on it was, because he's a straight shooter. And, you know, we talked about Melvin first, and he said, look, Mel, you're right. Melvin wasn't in shape, and that's why he didn't get the top three. He thought Troy was a little... flat, maybe a little. It looked a little thin in the prejudging. He did tell me though at night he really thought he filled up and looked a lot better. And I think he said had he looked that way at the prejudging, the outcome may have been very, very different. Do you agree with that statement?
You know, his opinion is you know, it's his opinion.
Right.
No, I would say that Troy looked, you know, a little bit fuller at night, but, you know, having said that, going back to prejudging, I thought Troy was, in my mind, you know, good enough to win, and in a lot of people's minds, you know, period, you know, was he better? I mean, if he was the same, if he was the same exact at night, the same exact, you would have had to ask him the same exact question.
Right. Now, I mean, he obviously, let's assume Gustavo, they went for a bigger look, a bigger, fuller look with good conditioning, and Gustavo wins. How does Troy finish third behind Hidetada? That's where I'm having a problem. I'm sure you are as well.
Well, you know me. I mean, right after the show, I saw Troy backstage. I went back there, and somebody came up to him and said, you know how people are backstage. They can throw anything around for their statements. But someone said, hey, Troy, you should have won. And you know, at least beat them second. And then they looked at me and I said, well, let's just cut to the chase. You know, I don't really even care about the second part, you know, because it's almost irrelevant.
Right.
You know, the important part is, or the, to me is, well, he should have won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know, sometimes people get lost in these, you know, secondary discussions of, you know, Hyde being in second, whatever. Well, it's regardless. Of course he should have beaten Hyde, but, you know, let's still focus on winning.
Right.
You know?
What was what was Troy's demeanor after prejudging? How did he feel after, you know, the whole preliminary rounds were judged?
I mean, he thought he had it in the bag going into the show and after the prejudging. You know, and Troy's not an over, you know, Troy, he's not an overconfident guy, but, you know, he was aware of the condition that he was in, and, you know, he's aware of his illusion on stage, too. You know, he's got the shape to create a big illusion, you know, even bigger than he is, you know, on a lot of shots. You know, and like I said, it's, you know, I thought going through the prejudging is, you know, my eye was going towards deferring to his condition and his shape over, you know, let's say Gustavo's, you know, size. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, they had a, you know, side tricep, and Gustavo's got his strength and you know, or side chest or front last vert or, you know, even the most muscular or whatever, the back double. And, you know, Gustavo, of course, has his strengths, but I'd still end up looking more at Troy.
Right.
And that's how I figure in my gut. Okay, then if I'm looking more at Troy, you know, then you know, I think he's going to win. And you know, that's how I saw it.
Well, I mean, you and I, Chris, agree on one thing. Number one, that conditioning is probably one of the most important qualities or aspects of bodybuilding. And if the person's not, you know, in their prime condition on stage, you really shouldn't evaluate them. Now, having said that, Gustavo was pretty well conditioned. I mean, he had striated glutes. His structure is definitely not as good as Troy's, but he did pack a lot more muscle. Do you think it's a toss-up here? Do you think, like, I mean, a little bit of this, a little bit of that? I mean, what was the deciding factor in your mind to put Troy over Gustavo?
You mean to put Gustavo? What was the deciding factor?
Why did you think that Troy deserved to be Gustavo? I don't know what the judges, why they thought Gustavo was better. I'm just wondering what your mindset was.
Well, I mean, I thought he had a bigger, I'll just go from this. When he first came out, or when they, you know, starting with when they first came out, you know, if you, the impact, you know, it's always, you know, if you, you know, always a big role is the impact. When Troy came out and did his poses by himself, I mean, you know, things are jumping off his body. And then when Gustavo came out, you know, you obviously it's a different body, and it's, you know, it's thick, it's, you know, he's great, you know, and he looked great. But, you know, there's still some things you say, well, that shot he don't look so good in, you know, or, you know, this, you know, he needs more conditioning, or, you know, his legs are, you know, need to be more balanced with his upper body, or, you know, his midsection. I mean, it's apples and oranges to some degree, but, you know, how do I know? Because at the end of the day, you know, when they're doing the next round, when they're doing a shot against each other, which guy are you looking at on the back double bicep, or the front, you know, or whatever shot you know, front double, side chest, side tricep, which guy just has more to look at the end of the day? You know, more to look at doesn't mean just more muscle. It's more, you know, it's more to look at can mean more detail, more, you know, I mean, it's just more stuff to see jumping around on Troy's body, at least on that day.
More wow factor, right.
Yeah, more wow factor. It's just more wow. And I think that's what Troy had is, you know, anyone who was there would just, you know, I'm sure they were, you know, borderline flabbergasted with his condition, you know?
Sure. For Troy especially, yeah.
For Troy, yeah. Well, let's talk about Hayato Yamagishi for a minute. It was an absolute head scratcher to find him in the second place position over Troy. You know, when we heard Melvin's name being called in fourth place, it was sort of justified because he was off, and it was his show. And maybe you don't think so, but as far as the industry's concern was, it was his show to lose, and he went there and he lost his show. So that basically left those places wide open. You had Hayato Yamagishi standing there, Gustavo Bedell, and Troy Alves. What was it? Break down Hayato. How is it justifiable at all that he is standing in second place position over Troy?
Well, you know, I can't justify it. But what is not justifiable either is that in a show like this, that when they put these guys in numerical order, okay? So that means Troy was on the right-hand side, and then next to him was Melvin, the favorite, then Gustavo improved, and then Hyde all the way to the left, and Hyde's a really good bodybuilder. You know, and they put him through their, you know, quarter turns and blah, 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 you know, muscularity round, or, you know, the comparisons. They put him back, then they bring him back at the end of prejudging, same order, which is ridiculous because, you know, switch them around. You know, put Hyde next to Troy so you can, you know, if it's that close, supposedly, or Gustavo right next to Troy. Troy never had, it's not that Troy didn't have the chance to stand next to Gustavo or the chance to stand directly next to Hyde, but the judges from different angles didn't get the chance to evaluate them at different angles. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's a good point you bring up, too, and I was going to ask you about this a little later, but I might as well bring it up now. I was a little upset that there wasn't as many call-outs as there needed to be. I never saw a comparison. First of all, John and I thought that Hidetada was going to be a fourth place in that first call-out, and we would have liked to seen Leo Ingram, Craig Richardson, even Robert Petrakowicz, you know, compared against, you know, that bottom of the first call out, which they never, you know, they never put the two together. It was like the top four and then the next four or five, and there was no crossover. I would have liked to seen some of those guys compared against each other and see how they match up.
Yeah, well, you know, let's see what happens in 2 weeks. I mean, I don't want to get off the topic. We can come to this towards the end, but my God, you got the Olympia coming up. I'd want to see like 1,000 call-outs because I have no idea how that show's going, you know?
Sure, sure.
Right.
So, but, you know, I mean, it's a valid point. I mean, unless the judges are that secure in their ability to pick 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, that they don't need to see any other comparisons, or that they, you know, they don't need to mix up the top four. I mean, that's the point I was making is you know, Troy's always to the right, Hyde always way to the left. You know, you got, I don't know how many judges there are, 7. So, you know, one guy who's right in front of Hyde, you know, and the other judge who's all the way at the other end, you know, they should have mixed them up. But you know what? The results probably would have been the exact same. you know.
True.
They could have mixed them up and we would have still been having this conversation.
True.
Yeah, but I think that's important. And let's talk about the Mr. Olympia for a minute. Going in there, you know, Troy has never been a guy that really did well at the Olympia, although he's done well at the other shows. How do you think he'll do in this lineup, which could be one of the most competitive lineups in maybe the history of the entire competition?
You know, it depends on how he's compared. You know, there's a lock clearly on, you know, and justifiably so with, I mean, you have so much muscle in number one. I don't know what it is, 1 through 5, 1 through 6.
But yeah.
after the last mask guy has been, you know, up there, then the fight is going to be for 7th, which is Gustavo, Troy, Hyde, you know, Silvio, blah, you know, all
Melvin.
The other good guys.
Yeah.
Melvin, yeah, Melvin, you know. You know, God, I would hate to judge. You know what? I would hate to judge the Mr. Olympia. You know,
yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, you know, they'll be talking about the judging probably for the whole year.
Right.
They're going to say it stinks because it's just, you know, it's just way too tough a show, I would imagine, to judge because you got different, you know, you got apples and oranges and freaks and in their own, you know, their own way.
Sure.
You know? This show was, I would have liked to have seen Troy win it. And in fact, I mentioned this to you, John, before, is this is the last time I helped Troy was in, it was way back in 05, and this was the Ironman lineup. He beat Melvin, and Gustavo won that show.
Right.
And after the pre-judging, you know, Lee Priest somehow fell into second because he wasn't in good shape at that show. And Troy was like a big, big surprise at that show. And everyone was saying, you know, after the pre-judging, same thing. Troy, you know, Troy Gustavo. And I told Troy point blank right after pre-judging, I said, yeah, actually, I have Gustavo first. I have you second.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, after this one, I switched it. You know, I did say, I said, I have you first. You know, it's not like you blew him off the stage or anything, but.
Right.
You know, but I, you know, if I sw- you know, I was of the opinion that, I, that Troy should have won the show.
I thought the Gustavo who won that Ironman was a lot better than the Gustavo last night, although he has come back quite a bit. And I thought the Troy Alves of last night was better than the Troy Alves of that Ironman. So, you know, given that, I wouldn't have had a problem with Troy edging him out on this.
Yeah.
Now,
I agree.
Now, in, let's talk about the Olympia for a minute because, you know, last year, Silvio was 7th. You know, when I look at Troy Alves, I see a guy, you know, I think that Troy Alves can easily take or handle like a Silvio Samuel. Do you think Troy can get himself up to as high as 6th or 7th at this Olympia, or is that
you know, his? I think he can because, I think he can. Can he be better? I think so, and, you know, I hope so, and... you know, there's no guarantees, but you know, I'm hoping that he can be a little bit, you know, little bit bigger, which might give the illusion of being a little bit tighter and, you know, more impressive with the shape. You know, 7th might in this lineup. Wow, that'd be unbelievable. You know, really, can he beat Silvio? I think he can beat Silvio. I think he can hide. I think he can, you know, beat Gustavo in a couple weeks, you know.
And do you
think can happen, you know?
And do you think that he will be judged differently on that Olympia stage? That's the question I'm trying to get at here. I think that he will be more favorably, you know, looked at the Olympia maybe than in a lineup like this.
God, who knows? You know what? Who knows? I mean, it'd be nice, but I would imagine that these judges, after they finally figure out who's 1 through 6, which I have an idea, and you have an idea, and John has an idea exactly who 1 through 6 is, we just can't figure out. Who's going where?
Right.
But you know, they're not just death exhausted from. You know what I mean?
Well,
God, we get the 1 through 6 nailed down. Let's just jumble 7 through. You know. Figure out who's going to be 7 through 10.
Right. Well, in a lot of sports, that's the relevant case. I mean, you have the standout champions. I mean, a lot in auto racing, it's like that. I mean, there's battles for 5th and 6th and 7th and 8th and, you know, and 7 through 10. I mean, it's just the way it works. I mean, there's the more highly sponsored, faster cars, and then there's the guys that, you know, are not quite up there. But in this case, you've got. Certainly a world-class champion bodybuilder on your hands. You've got 2 weeks to the Super Bowl, and what can you do? I mean, if this is not the time to go back to the drawing board, what can you possibly do in 2 weeks that's going to bring something different or better or more lethal to the stage for Troy Alves in the next 2 weeks?
You know, I think he can maybe, you know, carve up a little bit more, you know, for a couple of days. I mean, nothing crazy, but, you know, he's got the physique where if he, you know, gains, if he's 2 pounds on the scale, literally, a pound on the scale, literally more, you actually see it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because you know, he's got the small mid, he's got the waist, and he's got good condition. So, you know, frankly, I'm just going to try to, you know, he's going to keep an eye on the scale. And if he's, you know, he knows what he weighed at this show, and if he can come in, you know, a pound bigger, it's probably, you know, doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a pound bigger is going to look a lot different on stage. Or, I mean, what was he for the night show? A pound, probably a pound more than the pre-judge. And, you know, I mean, Weinberger said he looked fuller, and, you know, I thought he looked fuller too, but, yeah. You know, I know for sure that he was 1 pound more at night, you know, and it shows up. You know, it shows up sometimes, you know.
Sure. Yeah, well, you know, also, I think what happens too is once a guy gets that lean, and obviously he doesn't have to really do much in the way of diet for the next 2 weeks, I think you do have the ability to fill him up a little more. You know, I'm you. I always err on the side of conditioning. I think that's really what impresses the judges and the fans out there to that some degree. And you know, once you got that conditioning, you can kind of play around with, you know, how full or how flat, I think.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you. You know, then that was his goal for this show, is just to try to out condition people, because, you know, of course you have Melvin in the show, and I mean, you know, he knew Melvin was going in the show, and the goal was to bring in the best condition to you know, same thing. Like I said, make sure that the judges, you know, at the end of the day, who do they take the last look at usually? You know, unless you've got a crappy physique, they look at the condition guy.
Right.
You know, and of course, you know, the comparable, him and Melvin, it's not like, you know, he's standing next to Kai, you know, Victor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who's outmassing him and also has killer shape.
Sure.
You know? So
here's a question, you know, for you. Speaking of the Olympia, Jay Cutler's, you know, a lot of been a lot of talk of whether he could, you know, reestablish himself and get his conditioning back to what it's been at his best. Do you think that, in your mind, at least, I mean, you've worked with Jay a lot, that Jay could, you know, get back to where he needs to be, where he's going to actually reclaim the Olympia crown?
You know, I was thinking of that, and I think that, you know, the answer is yes, because I think that, you know, I think the show is going to come down to, obviously, after seeing yesterday's show, it's all about muscle, you know, mass. And I think that, you know, it's going to come down to my gut feel. I was thinking this all over the weekend, is it's going to come down to Jay, believe it or not. I think, you know, I changed my mind. I thought Kai. I think it's going to come down to Dennis Wolf, because it's going to come down to width.
Really?
That's, you know, that's my, you know, I'm a contrarian. You know, I always think the opposite of everyone else. Maybe just so I can feel good about myself. But, you know, I think Jay's width and Dennis Wolf's width, you know, and you know Dennis Wolf is not going to come in stringy like last year.
Right.
I mean, last year he didn't look like, I mean, he looked nothing compared to the year before. And, I mean, even if he was softer compared to, you know, what he's been, but if he comes in huge, you know, I mean, that's going to be impressive. You know, he's a tall guy. He's got the big delts and the big V taper. And, I think that's what they're going to, you know, that my gut is they're going to go with, that's going to be the standard, you know, the width, because, you know, and it's going to leave some people, you know, some people
scratching
surprised.
Their head. Yeah. Now, you know, my point always is, I could be wrong. I feel that Jay is so preoccupied with being big enough on stage sometimes that, at least in the last 2 years, that he might have neglected his conditioning to some degree. Even when Jay, that 1 year, I don't know if you remember, I don't know if you were working with him. He came in like a real flat, but he won the Arnold anyway.
No, I didn't.
Okay. I mean, the guy still won the Arnold. I mean, he didn't lose. I think Jay looks better when he's shredded, even if he's a little flat, than coming in too full, obviously, and not being hard enough.
Well, I think at the end of the day, you got to be both. You know, it's the Olympia. You know, you got to be, I mean, I understand your point, but,
I mean, do you think that, which do you think is a better look if he had to err on the side of one?
I think if he was too flat, he'd be toast.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that Arnold that year, he was way too flat.
Right.
But, I mean, he was, you know, flat for the night show, flat as hell last year, and he won on the judges' scores, you know, so they, I mean, that should tell you something.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. Well, I mean, what if you were still advising him and helping him, what would you recommend that he do to be his best?
Come in as big and full, and big and full, absolutely positively be as absolute best condition you can be in without losing the illusion of being big enough. And I have no idea what body weight that is, but that's you know, that's always the formula for everyone, I think, is be as absolute hard as you can be without entering the stringy look.
Yeah, but would you bring him down and get him shredded first and then fill him up, or would you try to do it simultaneously? I think that's what the guy's been trying to do, is get hard and stay full while he's doing it. Is that I don't even think that's possible.
Yeah, I don't even know, because I think he's got a different body, you know, right now, you know.
Do you guys communicate at all? I mean, has he checked in with you at all? Is he working with somebody else? Is he just doing it on his own?
I think he's doing his own thing, you know. He's doing his own thing. I'm not working with him.
Do you think that's a good idea, knowing him the way you do? Or do you think he's the kind of guy who probably at this point, with so much at stake right now, should say, hey, man, the next 2 weeks, can you work with me?
A good idea for him, a good idea for me.
For him.
It's probably a good idea for him, because he's that's the decision he's made to, you know, that's the route that he's decided to make. And, you know, Jay is, you know, when he makes a decision, that's the decision. He doesn't second guess it.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It gives him a lot of comfort, I'm sure. In other words, I'm sure he feels very comfortable right now, you know, where he's at.
Right. That's important.
I mean, this guy's like, you know, I think he's a little bit more competitive than people think. And no matter what people think he's going to come in, I bet he ends up surprising the hell out of people. That's my gut feel, you know. My gut feeling is that he'll shock a lot of people.
Are you going to be at the Olympia?
Yeah, I'm gonna be there. Yep.
Okay. When will you be in?
I'm gonna be there week. I'm gonna be there from either Sunday night or Monday.
Oh, great. Okay.
How's Pro Card Nutrition doing? Any? You're selling a lot of product.
Yeah, it's going good. We just signed Arnold to our 10-year deal.
We got him on the phone too.
Yeah,
Jeff,
we can get him on the phone for you.
No, I know you had the impersonator on last week. So, yeah.
What'd you think of him?
That's the guy. You signed on, right?
Yeah, it's great. I do the opposite. I want to have commercials having trash in my line on your that'd be so funny.
Right, you should imagine that you sign the impersonator to a 5-year contract, and he just sounds exactly like Arnold. I mean, is that what's wrong with that? Right,
Chris, you your brilliance precedes you because you just stumbled on a really good marketing idea, because those impersonators cannot be used to sell product. There's nothing.
I did the trash
right. Right, exactly. There's nothing in the law. There's nothing in the law that says they can't trash it. So you can actually get what you want there.
But it's going good. It's going good. You know, I got. I mean, I'm on your boards all the time. So you know, people. You know, they buy the product. They use the product. I get great feedback. And you know, I'm having fun. I'm having fun doing it. And it sounds like some people, I'm having fun doing it, but I am having fun, you know. People are just, I'm having fun, you know. I enjoy running the company, and I enjoy going to the shows I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
Chris, you're starting to sound like Bob Grushkin as you get older. You get the same Jewish inflections as he does, and he's got. I'm having fun.
Well, you know what? If you stick around bodybuilding, you know what? You got to have fun in bodybuilding, because it's frustrating.
Yeah,
so
of
it
course.
Can be frustrating. So you know what? Some people don't get my, you know, I don't know what it is, my personality, but I go to the shows to have fun, and I mean, you can ask Troy. I can make Troy laugh at getting laughter first, and. You know, because you got to have fun, because it's, you know, you're going to look back at these. I tell Troy, you know, you're 43, for God's sake. You're going to look back, and you're at your best, by the way.
Right.
You're at your best, and you're going to get better. But, you know, you look back at 49 and you say, God, I should have had fun when I was, you know, up there getting third at the Atlantic City, right. You know, regardless of the outcome.
You're right. You're right. Who's more discouraged after this weekend, you or Troy?
I would say probably Troy, because he found out Gustavo got paid $18K for the show.
Wow. I didn't know that was a lot of prize money then, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of prize money, you know?
Wow.
You know, I'm only discouraged because Troy didn't get it.
Right.
You know, but you know what I have to say is, you know, I like Gustavo a lot, you know. I'm you know, I would have liked to have seen Troy win because I was working with him, but I get to spend some time with Gustavo in Italy like 3 years ago, and you know, he's you know, he loves bodybuilding. He works his ass off. He's got a family, which a lot of bodybuilders can't even juggle their, you know, their cooking and their training and cardio. And he's you know, he's running around with bringing kids to school, picking them up, you know, all this stuff. And you know, I think he had a tough run there for a year where, you know, people probably wrote him off and thought, you know, God, what's happened with Gustavo? And you know, it's good to see that he's, you know, he's back to where he's capable of being. And you know, he's dangerous as hell. I mean, he's won that pose down round or whatever it was when they used to have it, and they got rid of it because he kept on winning it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, probably. You know, he beat Ronnie and he beat Jay. You know, imagine
yeah.
that.
Yeah. No, that's pretty
impressive. Of what people thought of the round, he did win it.
Sure. Yep. Well, Chris, I want to thank you for stopping over on the side of the road and giving us all your insights and not holding back any punches. We will be at the Olympia in 2 weeks. We'll see you there. We get in on a Wednesday, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of your commentary all weekend long.
Okay, good. I'm going to carb up Troy to like 240, and he's going to go be in the top six.
That's what I want to hear. Freak zone.
Well, okay, honest to God, here's the police behind me.
Oh, really?
Okay, I got to go. Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, Chris. Well, John, it looks like we got Chris Aceto arrested here for doing this interview. hopefully he makes it home sometime tonight.
Oh, man. You know, a lot of people don't understand the kinds of difficulties guys like Chris Aceto have, and of course us, that we have to leave our families. You know, Chris is a married man. He's got kids. He's got a normal life at home with a wife and a home and, you know, children and all of that, probably a dog. And, you know, here he is out all weekend in Atlantic City, you know, playing the bodybuilding guru role. And, you know, we kept him home. We kept him from going home an extra hour so he could be on the show. He was on his way home. And now here he is dealing with police. So,
Well, like he said, he's having fun, though. Come on, man.
He's having fun.
It's all about fun. And you know what? I agree with him, though. Not to mock him. But he does sound a lot like Bob Grushkin. He's starting to get that whiny, like, voice, which is good, because it's like the Mel Brooks, like, you know, right. him coming out. And, you know, I'm enjoying myself, too. I wouldn't do it if I didn't. And, you know what? I'm glad to see that Chris is going back to all the shows. Because for a while, he had been gone from the, you know, I don't know what he was doing, but he had disappeared. Now he's going to the Olympia for a whole week. He's got, he was at the Atlantic City. You know, I like to see Chris at the shows. It always gives me a smile because he's always got a very unique insight into what went on that night.
Yeah, and I love his sense of humor. I love cracking up with him. It's a lot of fun.
Well, this was a great show. We had Gustavo, Gustavo, as he always is, the guy with probably the most passion for bodybuilding out there.
Sure.
The Olympia is coming up in less than 2 weeks. We got the team, NPC Team Universe next week, and the, I guess, the New York Pro Figure Competition also being held that same weekend. Steve Weinberger promoting both. And, you know, John, this has been a really, really busy September for us. After Labor Day, we've had no weeks off, and we're going right into the Olympia right after the Team Universe, so it's going to be like a whirlwind.
Yeah, and you know, I'm really looking forward to the Arthur L. Ray ALR Industries after party that I keep hearing more and more and more about. I heard from Jason DeHeer the other day about the club and the acoustics and the music and how insane that's all going to be. I'm sure we are going to be in for quite an a party atmosphere for us to cover for our loyal fans for that evening.
Yeah, well, you know, not only that, we have Arthur L. Ray on the show next week with T.J. Humphrey, so we're going to get all the insight into what's going to happen at the ALR booth and the after parties. And, of course, the entire WAC pack will be out there this year for the first time ever. We got Jimmy Pelleccia, Jeff the producer, Big Sean Andros, Nick the Stick, Dan Ray, and yourself and myself. And Chris Zimmerman might be making it out there, and Ali Constantino will be out there, too. So we have a really good crew, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun. We're also going to be covering Barb Guerra's wedding, you know. As you know, Barb Guerra is one of my clients. She's she has a website, Barbie Unarmed. She's the one, the figure competitor that doesn't, fitness competitor, that doesn't have any arms. She lost them when she was younger. She's getting married at one of those, those chapels down there, and we're going to cover that as well. So we got a lot of special special events planned that I don't think anyone has any clue as to what we're going to be doing, but that's why they're going to tune into RXMuscle.com the entire weekend for the most unique coverage.
You know, it's funny. We're having Jimmy the Bull, who is probably going to be teaching, along with Jeff the producer, just about everybody how to get divorced, and then we're covering a wedding.
You and I ain't too bad in that category either, so you know, my father will probably kill me for using the word ain't, but I thought it was applicable to the situation.
It was definitely applicable.
All right, well, let's thank our guests, Gustavo Bedell, Chris Aceto, for stopping by tonight. Till next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio,
the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.